excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Oregon State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford talking to you on the road home from the game. This game is clearly the heartbreaker of the 2007 season. It reminds me a lot of the 2005 season with AU behind center, where a talented team, a seemingly more talented team, was unable to put away a determined and stout defense, Oregon State. Final score was 31-28. The score at halftime was 14-13 Bears. Key possessions or mistakes for the Bears were a number of fumbles. One notable one in the late third quarter or early fourth quarter, where a fumbled kickoff gave Oregon State back the ball, and a first quarter interception that set up one of Oregon State's touchdowns. So let's go through each of the player groups and talk about their performance. At quarterback, of course, this is where all the controversy is going to be. Longshore's ankle had not healed as much as everyone had thought, including myself, and Riley got the start. And I think he's going to get pinned with a lot of blame from a lot of people, and I think that's really unfair. I thought he did a surprisingly good job under the situation. Yes, it took him a quarter to a half to finally adjust to the speed of the game and to make the proper reads, but this is a brand new quarterback, somebody who's really getting his first time under center, and you can't expect him to be able to score effectively every time like Longshore does until he's got some time under his belt. And Tedford, as always, had the confidence to stick with him and let him do that adjustment. And he did a great job throughout the entire second half until the final play of the game. I'm sure everyone in the stadium and everyone at home had the exact same thought I did. Just throw the ball! And that was definitely a rookie mistake. You know, you have to look at it from his perspective. He played high school, he scrambled, he saw situations like that, and he was able to beat the linebacker to the corner and get into the end zone. And I'm sure that's what he was thinking in this case. But the difference was, this was his first time scrambling in college, and he didn't realize just how fast and how big and how sure tackling those linebackers were going to be. And so it's really unfair to expect him to have made that right decision. It's what he should have done, of course. It's very frustrating because overtime was nearly a lock. Perhaps Tedford should have said, you know, we're not even going to give you the chance to make a mistake. We're just going to kick the field goal. But it was the right thing to try to win that game as opposed to go for the tie. I mean, shanks have happened, or things could have gone badly in overtime. So a really tough break for a young kid who, in my opinion, looks like he's going to be a great quarterback. I mean, on the upside, he scrambled really well. Apparently, he doesn't wear the same brand of shoes as Longshore, because he could move, he could throw the ball on the run, he could throw the ball while being wrapped up. And I was overall very impressed with him once he got adjusted to the game. The running game, on the other hand, was not so impressive today. Forsett was fine, but he just didn't seem to have that extra oomph and extra slipperiness that he usually has. He was pretty good running outside the corners, but up the middle he was stuffed a lot of times, and I just feel that he could have done better. But he was playing in a tough situation against a team that was counting on Riley being unable to beat them and was playing very aggressive defense, and so was determined to stop the run. Wide receivers, I think they did a pretty good job. They could have had the ball more, but again, Riley was adjusting to the game, so hard to hold that against them. Tight ends, not such a good job, actually. They didn't do a great job in blocking. There were a lot of times where I think they let somebody through, and they weren't effectively getting into the flat for those rollout passes. So Mora didn't live up to expectations, and Stevens had a very minimal game. In fact, I don't remember him catching a pass. So they didn't really live up to their expectations, and they're a key piece in a game like today where the defense is really playing tough and tight. Offensive line, I thought, did okay under the circumstances. They did give Riley time, even as he took too long to make his reads, and did a serviceable job against again, stout defense. So overall, I think the offense was okay. It could have been better. It would have been a lot better if Longshore had been under center. But considering the circumstances and considering how the defense was playing them, I don't feel they were the lone reason the game was lost, like a lot of people are going to say. There were a number of mistakes outside of that. There was a drive in the third quarter where the defense just didn't perform. And they looked soft and slow and uninspired. And that touchdown ended up being key. There was the field goal at the end of the first half where the squib kick didn't get far enough downfield to make that a difficult situation for Oregon State. Instead, it ended up being a 20-yard drive situation where Alexis Serna did his magic again, kicking another beautiful long field goal. All of these things really hurt the Bears. And the number of points off of turnovers and off of mental mistakes of the team as a whole were really what did them in. Moving on to the defense, they were hot and cold. As I said, they had that drive at the beginning of the third quarter where they played completely uninspired, but there were other times they were extremely stout. Remember how many times Oregon State had a short field to work with, and how many times Cal held them to a field goal. I mean, they kicked three field goals today, and the two-point conversion was what made the two field goals count for a full touchdown. And two of the other touchdowns were on short fields. I don't think they ever really drove the entire field. So in that sense, the defense did pretty good. No, they drove the field once. It was that one drive in the third quarter. But I don't think that they did poorly, just that they didn't quite do as well as they could have. The defensive line did a horrible, I mean really, this was the weakness of the team, horrible job getting pressure on the quarterback. They did pretty good in run blocking, keeping Benson bottled up, but they didn't get to the quarterback, and at all. As I said on the bus out of the stadium, I think their quarterback could have penned the Great American Novel in the amount of time he had in the pocket. Linebackers, I thought, did pretty well, mostly getting into coverage and doing the right things. There were some deep patterns that I think really they should have been further back on, and it was their responsibility to cover those receivers. But overall, I felt they did reasonably well. Safeties, I thought, actually played pretty weak. They could have played a lot better. Again, there were a number of times where receivers snuck through the pattern, and it was really either a deep linebacker responsibility or a safety responsibility. And some big pass plays were completed in obvious long-distance passing situations that a good set of corners and a good secondary would have taken care of, and they didn't do that job. So, really, I felt the defense was the weakness of this performance and could have held up tighter, even though they didn't do terribly considering how many short fields they had. But you really have to give Oregon State a lot of credit. They did everything that I said they had to do before the game to pull this upset. They had to prevent the mistakes. How many turnovers today? Just one. And it was far enough down in Cal territory that it didn't give up points, but it also didn't cost them points. No interceptions, no bad punts. Well, there was the one, but in a very tight situation, nothing blocked. And then they really stepped up and stopped the run game of Cal, forced Riley to beat them. And if we'd gotten that overtime, they probably wouldn't have been able to hold on. But a valiant effort by a team that just loves to play Cal tough in Berkeley. That's now four in a row they've won in Berkeley, despite the fact that Cal's won three in a row in Corvallis. The most reverse lopsided non-home field advantage of two teams in the Pac-10, I'm sure. Moving on to the coaching, you know, it's really, really hard to judge the coaching in this situation because they are dealing with the new quarterback, and they do want to treat him gingerly. They don't want to throw him in there and just let the wolves eat him alive. But on the other hand, they knew how Oregon State was going to play that game, and I think they could have been a little more creative about getting the ball downfield and convincing Riley or giving Riley good situations to throw over the middle, because there were a lot of open receivers over the middle. And I don't feel like the coaching did a very good job of setting up Riley for success, particularly early in the game. The out patterns and the runs up the middle just weren't going to get it done against a defense that's a gambling defense and is putting nine men in the box and two corners on their own. Refereeing, you know, I try not to be too hard on them. I felt like they were very loose. They let a lot of things go, particularly in the pushing and shoving on the outsides amongst the receivers and the corners. And Oregon State knew how to take advantage of that, played really rough and aggressive. The only really, really bad call of the game, in my opinion, was the personal foul against Cal on the tiptoe up the sideline by Bernard, because, I mean, there's just no way. You have to hit that guy. If he continues to tiptoe up the sidelines, you're going to get yelled at by your coach. You just don't know whether he stepped out on one of those little lines, and even if he had, it would have only been the most recent stride. I am sure a whistle had not yet blown. And he hit him and got him out of bounds. It wasn't malicious. He didn't drag him 10 yards off the sideline, rip his helmet off. He just hit him and made sure he was out of bounds. It was a hard hit, but nothing that deserved a penalty. I'm also very interested to look at all of these stops on the goal line. It just seems to me some of those must have gone in, either for Cal or Oregon State. How can you have eight plays where neither team can get the ball into the end zone from the 1 yard line? And I don't know, I gotta see it on film, because it just feels wrong to me. It didn't feel biased one way or the other, because both teams struggled, but it just felt like they were not giving credit for a good spot on a lot of those. Other things to discuss. You really do have to give Riley a lot of credit for that last drive up until the last play, standard caveat. He executed wonderfully. He was composed even when it was third and fourth down. He threw some great balls. A couple were not that great, but he was trying to get the ball deep downfield in some tight spots, and I think he did an excellent, excellent job. So his play, particularly that one pass to Jordan that got us down into field goal range, was a great pass and a great catch. And I have a lot to be excited about Riley. Of course, that final play, you know, the timeout would have been so helpful. Of course, we couldn't have it because we needed to stop the clock when Oregon State had the ball. But, boy, I mean, you could have used it two ways. One, you could have used it to take Riley to the sideline when that first down happened and say, all right, look, you're going to get two plays to get it into the end zone, but don't do anything stupid. Just get the ball to a receiver, and if it's not there, throw it away quickly. Or you could have let him just do his own thing and then taken that last time out and kicked the field goal. So that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Another thing worth commenting on was the number of timeouts Oregon State had in the second half. So I saw three timeouts used in a short period. First, they challenged the play of it being a touchdown, and that challenge was rebuked, so they lose their timeout. Immediately after that, they went up to the line of scrimmage and called another timeout to discuss what play they were going to use or whether they wanted to kick the field goal, and took a second timeout. And then they took a third timeout. Now I'm forgetting exactly when that third timeout was. Maybe it was for the two-point conversion. In fact, I think that's right. But again, immediately thereafter, and it was only counted as their second timeout. In other words, they did not count separately the challenge of the play and the timeout for discussing the what play they would use after that. And I'm pretty sure that that's not right, that they should have been charged for all three timeouts then. Now, they never ended up using the errant extra timeout, but it didn't make me feel good to see that they had an extra timeout on the board that perhaps they didn't deserve. Finally, a note about the tree sitters. Of course, the trial ended this week, but as we were exiting the stadium, somebody properly pointed out that this was not a good day to be a tree sitter if you enjoyed your safety. There were a lot of upset fans, and they were taking their venom out on those tree sitters. I sure hope nothing violent happened, but there was a lot of yelling and hollering back and forth between those guys, and you know, that's kind of the way it is when you get a bunch of fans who thought they had overtime, thought the game was going to continue on, and then a dumb rookie mistake sinks them. That's all I have for this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. Thank you for listening, and you'll hear me again next week on the road home from my living room to the study after the UCLA game. On the road again.